Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Next week is the big week for Bill Clinton. It's the Clinton Library opening, and that's in Little Rock, Arkansas. There'll be people there, celebrities from all over this country and from countries around the world. The whole city of Little Rock is booked. You can't get a room. We reserved our rooms months ago, half a year ago, a long time ago, knowing that this would be a big event. And why are we going? Well, we're going to, well, what would a Clinton Library opening be without the Bob Enyart Live crew? I mean, how could we pass up a celebration like that? Bill Clinton, according to the Wall Street Journal, Bill Clinton raped one of his campaign workers, not sexual harassment, but actual rape. And the Wall Street Journal, February 19th, 1999, wrote this, that to hear the corroborating witnesses was to understand that this was an event that in fact took place. And since the Bible tells us to expose the works of darkness, that helps us understand how we could use this as a tool to let people know that if you're a fan of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, or whoever's your hero, and then you take that hero and you show how wicked they are, then you can attempt to pry a wedge between that person and their belief that they're so good that they could get to heaven because they're just so good. When the Bible says, you're not so good. We are sinners. We hurt one another terribly. The world is filled. The history of the world is filled with pain. So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:11, he told us to expose the works of darkness. That's what he says, expose the works of darkness. And Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. And hey, I'm glad that once in a while it's mentioned in the national media. And Ann Coulter, in her new book, How to Speak to Liberals, If You Must, she mentions in chapter one that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. I was on MSNBC a few years back on Chris Matthews' Hardball, and he gave me a softball. He knew that I was on there to talk about how we had gone to Hollywood and purchased O.J. Simpson's memorabilia at auction. And we burned his Hall of Fame award and his jerseys. He signed Heisman 68 when he won the Heisman Trophy. And so we burned his Hall of Fame award and his jerseys on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. And that's what I was on. I was on Hardball to talk about that. But Chris Matthews knew that I wanted to talk about the overwhelming evidence that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. And so Chris Matthews, of all people, after an 8-minute interview where he just let me say what I wanted to say, then he gave me a softball and asked me about the Clinton scandal. And so what we're doing, we've gone to 143 cities since the story broke with what we call a Clinton rapist protest. To let people know, look, you support Bill Clinton, you don't even care. If he did rape a woman, you don't care. And the Wall Street Journal could say that this was an event that in fact took place. They don't say it was an allegation. They don't say Bill Clinton allegedly raped Juanita Broderick. They call it a fact. In fact, so we use that to show people, look, you think you're a good person. You think you're good enough to get to heaven? If you were to die today, you think you're going to heaven because you're good enough? You don't even care. If Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick, one of his campaign supporters, you don't care. So here at Bob Enyart Live, we had a worldwide exclusive interview with Norma Rogers. the nurse who found Juanita Broderick sobbing and wounded, her face bruised, her lips swollen to twice their size, on the bed in her hotel room where she alleged that Arkansas Attorney General Bill Clinton had just forcibly raped her. And it's on that rape allegation that the Wall Street Journal wrote that, quote, to hear the corroborating witnesses was to understand that this was an event that in fact took place. Now, we had an interview, over an hour-long interview that you can hear on the web today. It's at kgov.com, kgov.com, with the nurse, Norma Rogers, who since remarried, but she was Norma Rogers at the time. And we interview her step by step. In fact, I'm going to go through now the list of some of the particulars of what she recalls. And that's why we're going to Little Rock next week. By the way, there are 20 people from around the country coming with us. And if you could get away from work, come along. Come on. If you live in the Colorado area, then you could caravan with us. We got room for you in one of our vehicles. And elsewhere, we'll meet you in Little Rock. We're leaving Sunday the 14th, right after church. I have to be at church, Denver Bible Church. I preach, so I have to be there. But right after church, 12:30, we'll leave with a small caravan from the church parking lot. And you could be with us or meet us in Little Rock, as so many others are doing. We've got a law enforcement officer from California going to go, people from Indiana, people from Texas. We're going to have a good time. I don't have the list in front of me who all is coming from where, but Oklahoma. We'll have a really good time. And when you look at Bill Clinton, right, and how liberals still adore him, you know, Bill Clinton has paid for sex with taxpayer money. As a governing official, Bill Clinton has paid for sex with taxpayer money by arranging for government jobs to be given to women for sex and to keep them quiet. For example, Jennifer Flowers was hired by the state government in Arkansas, right? In fact, the job that Bill Clinton arranged for her, she took that job, and a black woman sued the state because she was in line to get the job and she was qualified, and Jennifer Flowers, she claims, was not. But Jennifer Flowers was given a government job because of her sexual affair with Bill Clinton. That's paying for sex with tax money. And if you recall with the Monica Lewinsky scandal, none other than our UN ambassador, Bill Richardson, at Bill Clinton's behest, offered Monica Lewinsky a job at the United Nations. And the news reported at the time that Monica was also offered a job at the Pentagon. Isn't this incredible? All this to pay her for sex. So to liberals, executive privilege, you know what that means? To conservatives, executive privilege means the leader of a nation could have private conversations on national security matters with his advisors and doesn't have to be forced to divulge what those conversations entailed. That's executive privilege to conservatives. To liberals, executive privilege is that you could use women sexually, you could sexually harass women, you could use your position as a wealthy, powerful white male, as a superior, to basically get sex from one of your subordinates. And executive privilege to liberals is that they look the other way. It's tolerated. It's okay. You can pay for sex with tax money, and that's executive privilege to liberals and to Democrats. Well, in the interview that I conducted with Norma Rogers, the nurse, and by the way, this was a worldwide exclusive interview, she had been interviewed by FBI agents at the time of Clinton's impeachment. We heard about that with our interview with Bob Barr. That's on KGov also. Fascinating. You might want to hear that back around the time of the Republican convention. Just go to kgov.com, search for Barr, B-A-R-R. You could hear about Bob Barr Babar and I talking about when this story all became public. So Norma Rogers was interviewed by FBI agents, and she was interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, Dorothy Rabinowitz of the Journal, and she was interviewed by the Washington Post, if I recall, and Dateline NBC did a story on this, all very compelling. But she would not be interviewed on camera or on tape. And so what happened, well, we are thrilled that because Norma Rogers, there was a go-between, an intermediary, someone she respected, one of her doctors, actually a chiropractor, who is a longtime friend and supporter of Bobinert Live, and he arranged for the interview. And so we did a worldwide exclusive interview with the nurse who found Juanita Broderick shortly after she was raped by Bill Clinton. And next week, while we're driving to Little Rock, November 15th, well, we'll be there that day, but we will re-air that interview here on KGov, well, on KLTT in Denver and on the internet at kgov.com. So here are some of the particulars that Norma Rogers corroborated. All right, these are details that come out in the Wall Street Journal article, in the Washington Post article of February 20th, 1999, and from Norma Rogers' own recollection. Okay, and if you listen to the interview, here are some of the details that you will hear. That Juanita Broderick, at that time, she was a 35-year-old campaign worker, actually a campaign supporter. She met Bill Clinton in April 1978 when he made a campaign stop at her nursing home. She owned a nursing home, and he stopped there. He was running for governor, and she had owned the home for 5 years. And Juanita Broderick says that Bill Clinton invited her to his Little Rock campaign headquarters. You know, next time she's in the capital of the state, come on out to the campaign headquarters. You could help out. So Juanita and her employee, Norma Rogers, were scheduled to attend a conference. It was a seminar, an American College of Nursing Home Administrators seminar in the state capitol at the Camelot Inn, a hotel, the following week, on April 25th, 1978. And by the way, to the extent that any of these details can be verified, they have been by the mainstream media. I'm talking about the Post, the Wall Street Journal, and Dateline NBC. Okay. So the Camelot Inn, it was there at the time, but it's since been destroyed. And Juanita says that she accepted Clinton's invitation to visit the campaign headquarters and that she called those headquarters when she arrived in Little Rock and was surprised, get this, that the aide who answered the phone had expected her call and told her to call Bill Clinton at his apartment. Isn't that interesting? So Juanita Broderick says that she called Bill Clinton and they arranged to meet at the coffee shop in her hotel. So Broderick says Clinton then changed their plans in a subsequent phone call, moving the meeting to her room where they could have drinks delivered since he said that the coffee shop was too noisy for their meeting. So Juanita Broderick says Clinton made small talk, came to her room and made small talk for less than 5 minutes, pointing to a jail across the river, which he said he would refurbish when elected, which jail, by the way, media accounts report being later demolished. So do I have that right? The hotel was demolished. The jail was demolished. But they were all there. These are Juanita's bits and pieces of her story that she's told the FBI now, she's told the mainstream media, and she told friends at that time, contemporaneous corroborating witnesses. And like the other women who've accused Bill Clinton, she was on his side. She wasn't the enemy. She was on his side. So Broderick says that Bill Clinton then startled her by embracing her and saying, "We're both married people." And Juanita says that she responded, this is according to articles and according to Norma Rogers' recollection of being with Juanita just shortly after the rape. Juanita Broderick says that she responded to Bill Clinton saying that she had no such interest in him and that she was in love with David Broderick, whom she later married in 1981. So she's a married woman having an affair with another man. Now, sexual predators are really good at picking their prey. They pick women who are vulnerable. Or like homosexuals who molest children, they pick children who have bad families because the kids are vulnerable. And sexual predators, they can identify women who are at risk. And a woman who's having an affair is big time at risk. It's a sin. It's destructive. She's out from the protection of a good marriage. So Broderick says that Clinton persisted. He wasn't deterred by her saying she was having an affair. Is that surprising? No, of course not. That would encourage him. That encourages a sexual predator. That's why some men at the office will tell a female coworker that he's cheated on his wife. Why does he say that? Because he wants to explore the possibility of cheating again with that coworker. So it's not real hard to figure out how human beings work to manipulate one another and hurt one another. Broderick says that Clinton persisted, and then he forced her onto the bed and used his strength to hold her down. And according to Juanita Broderick's account, Bill Clinton tore apart her clothing and then inflicted pain on her, and I'll spare you the details. And he bit her lips, which also inflicted pain on her. And Norma Rogers says that when she found Juanita on that same bed shortly afterward in a state of shock, that her pantyhose had been torn in the crotch. And Broderick says that immediately afterward, Bill Clinton told her not to worry about becoming pregnant, for he had the mumps when he was a child and that he was sterile. Now, that's interesting. You know, Juanita Broderick, by the time she told the story to the FBI, when they came to her, she knew he had a daughter named Chelsea. So if she's making up the story, she most likely wouldn't make that up unless she's incredibly brilliant and figured out, well, I'm going to say things that are obviously not true, so it sounds more plausible. She wasn't doing that. She's recounting the story as she remembered it. And so if you recall, Bill Clinton is, what, the only president who refused to release his medical records. So that was always something we've been interested in. Did he have the mumps when he was a child? I don't know. So Juanita first publicly told of Clinton's claim of sterility in 1999. And she knew, you know, Chelsea then is 20 years old. So then Juanita Broderick says that she had, quote, felt paralyzed, unquote, and was not at all thinking about pregnancy, and that when Clinton mentioned sterility, she started to cry. And Juanita says that Bill Clinton's behavior and words as he was leaving the room, you know, she's on the bed, her lips are swelling, her face is bruised, and he's then within minutes leaving the room. He's done. What's that new book about Bill Clinton by Dick Morris? Because he could. Because he could. And that's what he said. Why'd you do these things with Monica Lewinsky? Because I could, was his answer. And he was able to sexually harass and sexually assault women being a governing official for years because he could, because the media liberals, remember, executive privilege is that a Democrat can sexually assault women with impunity and not be held accountable because, hey, he's a Democrat and there's a double standard. There better be a double standard. I don't want to be held to the Democrat liberal standard of using women, which is okay if you support the right to kill unborn children. I don't want to be held to that standard. I want to be held to a higher standard. So she started to cry. And she says that his behavior and words are seared into her memory, that as he's walking out of the room, her hotel room, he put on his sunglasses and gestured toward her mouth saying, "You better put some ice on that," and walked out and closed the door. Now, Norma Rogers, a nurse, describes Juanita's lips as swollen to double their size and her mouth area discolored by bruising, which she attributed to biting. She treated Juanita's lips with ice at the hotel, and then they left immediately to drive home. And on the way home, they stopped to get more ice. Norma Rogers, the nurse that we interviewed, worldwide exclusive interview that you could hear only at KGOV.com. By the way, when we go to Little Rock, now my office staff is going to have a heart attack when they hear this, but I want to bring about 100 CDs with this interview that we could hand out. Also, a few thousand brochures that quote all this material, a trifold brochure that we could hand out. And we're going to bring huge signs, different signs, but the main signs will be huge, and they're going to say Clinton raped Juanita. And other banners we have, black banners, and they have a profile of Bill Clinton's face, and they have the word rapist on them. So there's Bill Clinton's face and the word rapist. But the main signs are Clinton raped Juanita. Oh, and by the way, we have the itinerary of what all the celebrities will be doing that week. The concerts they'll be going to, the dinners, the events, the art centers. We've got the whole itinerary. And we're going too. We'll be there also. And so there's 20 of us so far. Hopefully a few more people can go. Oh, and by the way, if you can't go but you'd like to support us, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but here at Bob and Yurt Live, we can't really afford just to go for a week and not be at the office answering the phones. So we're going to try to answer the phones while we're on the road, especially to take orders and return business calls. But if you'd like to help out with a donation of $100 or $500 just for this, we have about a dozen signs that we want to make. We got to make them this week. We have the banners with Clinton's profile and the word rapist. We have those. But about a dozen other signs we want to make, and just that's going to cost maybe $400 or $500 by the time we're done. And then the 100 CDs and the articles and the hotel rooms and the gas and the caravan. So if you can help out, please call 1-800-836-9278, and you can make a gift with a credit card or send in a check, or you could go online on our website at kgov.com, and there you could make a one-time donation. And once in a while, people sign up to subscribe, a monthly donation or a monthly Bible study album or the sermons or a monthly video. And when people do that, that really helps us keep going. Okay, so on the way home, the nurse stopped again to get ice to help Juanita. And Norma Rogers recalls that Juanita, in a state of shock, kept repeating, "I can't believe what just happened. I can't believe what just happened," as they drove home a couple hours from Little Rock. The April 25th, 1978 Arkansas Gazette, this is going back to that day, mentions a nursing home conference held at the Camelot Inn. So that's true. And that edition also noted Clinton's only announced event of the day was that evening in nearby Conway. which, by the way, one of the events for the opening week of the Clinton Library is in Conway. Maybe we'll go there. Juanita says she feared that she would not be believed, of course. That's common. Even if it's not a celebrity who raped you, that's common. And she blamed herself for allowing a man into her hotel room, of course. And remember, this was in the late 70s, back when there was even more common sense and morality in our culture. So she blamed herself for that. But then she says, quote, "This was the attorney general, and it just never entered my mind," unquote. And of course, that's true, too. How could she possibly guess that he would do such a thing? She may even have liked the idea of being with him or flirting with him. But she wasn't asking to be raped. Oh, and by the way, there are so many women that have come forward with stories of Bill Clinton's sexual harassment and abuse. And his behavior with her has some similarities with his behavior with other women. And Juanita says that she wanted to deny and forget what had happened. And on the drive home, she invented a cover story for her wounds and told David Broderick, the man she would marry afterward, that she had been hit in the mouth by a revolving door. Now, I don't know. You know, women are not always mechanically minded. And obviously, that couldn't happen like that. Unless she was going in horizontally on a stretcher. So David Broderick immediately said that didn't happen. And he says that a few days later, Juanita told him that Bill Clinton had raped her. And Juanita says that Clinton later phoned her nursing home several times, but each time they called her and she refused to take the call. You know, her staff would say, "The governor's on the line," and she refused to answer. In the following years, the Brodericks avoided conferences if Clinton was scheduled to attend, and they say that when they once happened to see Clinton, that David grabbed the governor by the hand and said, "Stay away from my wife and stay away from Brownwood Manor," her nursing home. Juanita recalls that Clinton had to wring himself free from her husband's grip. Now, I'd like to finish this tomorrow. So tomorrow I'll go through the rest of the story and explain again why 20 Christians from around the country, hey, it's 21 if you go, 20 Christians from around the country are going to Little Rock so that we could be at least a footnote in history that when the news accounts are read of the opening of the Clinton Library, there were Christians in the city of Little Rock who turned that city upside down with the evidence that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. And Hillary Clinton has done nothing but mock the women that her husband has harassed and sexually assaulted and raped, setting the cause of women back 100 years. So, hey, tune in tomorrow and pray for us while we go to Little Rock. And now we're almost out of time. I want to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a neat school. 20 acres, Christ-centered curriculum, all for your kids through 12th grade, 431-5653. That's 431-5653.